As Democrats continue to debate whether to begin impeachment proceedings against President Trump, they are certainly considering the country's last impeachment. In 1998, the House of Representatives voted to impeach President Bill Clinton after he was charged with lying under oath to a federal grand jury and obstructing justice. He was the second president to be impeached after Andrew Johnson in 1868. But the Senate acquitted Clinton, he was not removed, and he finished his term. Peter Baker was watching it all. He covered Clinton's impeachment for The Washington Post. He's author most recently, along with John Meacham, Tim Neftali, and Jeff Engel, of Impeachment and American History, and he is now chief White House correspondent for The New York Times. Peter Baker, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So it seems like the Clinton impeachment and how it played out is, more than anything else, stopping the Democrats from moving forward on impeachment now. Is that your sense?
Well, in a way, that's right. Everybody, of course, fights the last battle. They are taking lessons from the Clinton impeachment experience and worry that they will repeat what they see as the mistake the Republicans made, which is to say that they pursued an impeachment that came across to the public anyway as partisan and, in effect, kind of backlashed against them. They're afraid that, just like the Republicans did back then, they might be able to win an impeachment vote in the House, but they would lose the vote in a Senate trial, which requires a two-thirds majority. Mm-hmm. And then, the president now, like the president then, would claim that that was, vindication rather than seeing it as accountability for misdeeds.
Okay, well, let's talk about what happened back then. Clinton had an affair with White House intern Monica Lewinsky from 1995 to 1997. It became public in 98. He at first denied it, but eventually came clean in August of 98. Here he is in a televised address.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part, for which I am solely and completely responsible.
Peter Baker, start us there. What was the political calculation for Republicans who, at that moment, decided to authorize an impeachment inquiry?
Well, the issue, of course, was not that he had an affair. It was that he had been asked about this under oath and given a false answer, right? And the other allegation was that he had tried to obstruct this lawsuit that had been filed by Paula Jones, who alleged sexual harassment by the president, and had the right under the court's rulings to explore other instances of extramarital impropriety if it involved a subordinate employee like a White House intern, because he was accused of telling or encouraging other people to lie about this. He was accused of encouraging them to hide this affair in a legal proceeding. That made it a legal issue, not just a moral or ethical issue. And that becomes a problem, right? Because a lot of Americans saw this really as just about sex. And a lot of Democrats would tell you, well, that's all the Republicans really cared about. It was a puritanical exercise to punish a president of the other party. But what the Republicans say is, okay, but you don't get an exemption from the law requiring you to tell a truth under oath and to cooperate with a legal proceeding just because it might be about sex. And so where is the line? That's the question that the Clinton impeachment really raised. Where is the line of accountability for a president? What constitutes high crimes and misdemeanors? When is a presidential action so severe that it merits removal from office? And when is it not serious enough to do that? And what do you do about that in that kind of circumstance?
Well, and Democrats were very critical of the investigation when it started. This is Democratic Florida Congressman Robert Wexler, who said this after Republicans voted to authorize the impeachment inquiry.
What are our priorities as a people and a nation going to be? Is it going to be our health care, our schools, our educational needs, our Social Security, stopping genocide and containing this world economic crisis? Or is it going to be Monica Lewinsky?
It is striking to hear that now and think that Republicans have been saying the same thing about the Mueller investigation, if you changed a few of the words and some of the names.
That's right. Look, obviously, we don't want to compare exactly what President Clinton was accused of and what President Trump was accused of, but some of the surround sound is pretty similar, right? If you're the party defending the president, you're saying that the investigation against him is a witch hunt. You're saying that it is costing us time and resources and money and attention that should be paid to more serious issues. You're saying that the party pursuing it is only partisan and motivated by political motives rather than genuine interest in accountability. And that you hear very much ringing in our ears today like you did 20 years ago.
Well, and here's what Republicans were saying. This is the then Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, in October of 98, one of the main people pushing to impeach Clinton.
This is something that each member should approach as an American based on their oath to uphold the Constitution as their oath of office. And I would hope that's the way to be dealt with next week. So I hope it wouldn't be Democrats and Republicans. It'll be Americans.
Now, Peter, I remember watching on C-SPAN as some of these impeachment proceedings were going on. They went on for a long time. How long did it take and how contentious did it get?
Well, interestingly, it took less time from the delivery of Ken Starr's report to Congress to the vote on the House floor to impeach President Clinton than we have now had since Robert Mueller's report was made public. It was about 99 days, if I remember the number correctly. We're past that already. This time around, we haven't yet officially opened an impeachment inquiry, whether what one should be or should not. That's not for me to say, obviously. So it felt like it went on for a long time, partly because the investigation itself had gone on from January to August beforehand, and the country had no question gotten tired of it by that point. And that's something you also, again, see, a dynamic you see today. A lot of the country, particularly Republicans, but even some independents and perhaps some Democrats, have gotten tired of this conversation about the Russia interference and whether or not President Trump obstructed justice. And it does seem like it's gone on for a long time this time around, too.
Did any Democrats join Republicans in voting to impeach?
More than 30 Democrats joined Republicans to open an impeachment inquiry. Mm-hmm. Only 5 Democrats in the House voted to actually impeach President Clinton once that question came to the floor. Similarly, 5 Republicans went the other direction and said they were not going to vote to impeach him on the main articles that ended up getting approved. So it was a pretty party line vote.
Was there any question, as somebody who was covering this at the time, of whether the Senate would actually vote to remove him from office?
Well, in hindsight, everybody looks back and says, well, we always knew the way it was going to turn out. I don't think so. That's not the way it felt at the time. Now, look, Democrats controlled enough votes in the Senate to maintain an acquittal, right? You needed a 2/3 vote to convict him. Republicans didn't have 2/3 by themselves. That would mean a number of Democrats would have to agree to vote against the president in order to remove him from office. That was always something of a long shot, but it wasn't unthinkable. In fact, there was quite a number of moments in there where people feared that there could be sort of a race to the exits by Democrats who weren't very happy with President Clinton. In the end, that didn't happen. In the end, Democrats did stick together, and he won the trial in the Senate by a sizable vote. But there were moments where it felt like it could have gone in a different direction.
Okay, so I want to talk about 2 political implications of this. First of all, for the Republicans, what did this do to the Republicans politically that they went through this process and then didn't remove Clinton from office?
Well, it was seen as a mistake by Republicans. It was seen as something that was partisan and political. In fact, for some of them, it was seen as even hypocritical because a number of Republicans had their own extramarital affairs exposed during this whole process. Their argument, of course, was, well, we weren't asked about them under oath. We didn't lie to a federal grand jury. That's a different thing. The question is not adultery, but telling the truth to a legal proceeding. But in any case, a lot of damage was done to Republicans. Now, what you hear today by Democrats who are urging this House to go forward with impeachment was, well, maybe they didn't really pay that much of a price. The Republicans did end up winning the next presidential election, George W. Bush in 2000.
Who ran, and, by the way, saying that he was going to restore honor and dignity to the White House.
Exactly. Overtly against President Clinton's immorality, as he would put it. And the Republicans held on to the Congress, even though they lost some seats in the 1998 midterm election. So you hear, different takes on it today. But broadly, the historical judgment has been that, it ended up being seen as a partisan impeachment. That's something that Democrats today don't want to repeat.
This was more than 20 years ago. Do you think it's still impacting our politics today?
Well, it is. And it's really interesting how it's gone through cycles of revisionist thinking, right? After the 9/11 attacks and during the Iraq War, there are a lot of people who look back on the Clinton impeachment and say, well, look how frivolous this was. Look what the country was busily occupying itself with instead of seeing the threat that was on the horizon. This was you know, something that was not worthy of a full year of Washington's attention. But then over the last couple years, as the Me Too movement has arisen in the United States, I think that people are re-looking at President Clinton's behavior and re-evaluating it in a different lens, right? That the things that he was accused of at the time, not just with Monica Lewinsky, but with Kathleen Willey, certainly Juanita Broderick, Paula Jones, amounted to the kinds of things we today in the Me Too era have roundly condemned. And that while whether or not impeachment was the right course of action or not, you've even heard Democrats like Kirsten Gillibrand, now running for president, say that President Clinton should have resigned as a result of the accusations that were made against him. So it is interesting how history kind of comes in waves and we reevaluate these things depending on the current moment's politics.
That is Peter Baker, chief White House correspondent for The New York Times, speaking with us about the impeachment of President Clinton. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's always great talking to you.
And by the way, it was this weekend in 1998 that President Clinton made that famous statement on TV that he did have sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky.